live from Studio 89, overlooking Lake Michigan from downtown Chicago. It's another big hour where Chicago comes to talk on the Big 89, the Weekend WLS.
Saturday, the 25th of October. 6 days until Halloween. 2 months until Christmas. And oh yeah, 10 days until the event of the year, Election Day 2008. Hi, I'm Paul Harris, proud to have you along for a couple hours on this Saturday afternoon here on the Big 89, the Weekend WLS. We've got lots of election stuff to talk about over the course of the next couple of hours. It is amazing to me that these candidates have been running for president for well over a year. I think you could probably make it over 500 days. And we come down to the last 10 days. And anybody ready to make it official on a call yet? I mean, 1 week ago at this time, I was saying things seemed to be leaning towards Obama. But then all the McCain people came out of the woodwork and said, wait a second, it's not over. Don't forget that Kerry was ahead of Bush. And they cited example after example after example. But we're going to delve into how close things really are, in particular in the electoral map, because you see the national polls that come out. The new one today from the Washington Post and ABC News puts Obama up 53-44. Newsweek's got it Obama 53-41. NBC's Chuck Todd has just moved Virginia into the leaning Obama column. And you see story after story after story like that. But it ain't over till it's over. And hopefully it will be over by the morning of November 5th, and we won't go through what we went through in 2000 with the election that wouldn't end. Lots of people will join me to talk about this, including lots of you on our phone lines a little bit later. But up first, the investigative correspondent from Newsweek magazine, Michael Isikoff. Mike, how are you today?
Very good.
Nice to have you back on the show.
Good to be with you.
What can John McCain do with 10 days to go to turn the tide?
Probably not much. I mean, he's in pretty bad shape right now. We're about to report that they're going to start a new wave of attack ads and robocalls, trying to bring up Obama's relations with Tony Rezko. But the economy has put McCain in a deep hole. It's that plus all the controversy that surrounded Sarah Palin, who has been sinking in the polls in terms of her public standing, have badly hurt McCain. And I thought if it was going to tighten, it would have happened this week. And I don't see much signs of that absent something huge. Obama is on schedule to win this thing, probably by a pretty hefty margin.
All right, so in that case, the question then has to become, where did McCain go wrong?
What went wrong for him, and that was the economic crisis, which was not his strong suit, which is not what he wanted to be talking about during this campaign. It's a problem for him. Yeah. I mean, this is not, this is a guy who had said economics was not his strong suit. It's a guy who has said, that the fundamentals of the economy were sound, only for people to observe a financial meltdown and the country heading straight for a serious recession. This was not a good thing for him. And he didn't have a clear message in response to what had become overwhelmingly the biggest issue in this campaign.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, he was in the lead with the independents who will decide this election, the so-called swing voters, and now Obama is up with most of them in most polls. Is it all because of the last few weeks in the economy?
Plus Obama has run a very good campaign, a very strong campaign, focused campaign, has not made any gaffes. All the gaffes have been on the McCain side, primarily on the Sarah Palin stuff. And, you know, just think about the disclosures this week. $150,000 in campaign funds used to buy Sarah Palin and her family clothes. I mean, that's a lot of clothes. You look at those reports to the FEC, $75,000 in one day.
Yeah.
To Neiman Marcus. I mean, think about that in your own life.
Going That's a lot of haircuts Marcus, for John Edwards, isn't it?
Running up a $75,000 bill. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And speaking of money, you've written recently in Newsweek about the impact of money on this campaign, particularly Obama's unbelievable fundraising efforts this year. $150 million in September. He's got to be over $500 million raised this year. What impact...
Yes, it is phenomenal, and most of it is, most of it is in small donors, and that's what's astonishing. Now, there's a problem there because most of those donors under $200 are not reported. So you have some sporadic reports of fraud and problems in that, but basically he has clearly tapped into something huge here and a great deal of enthusiasm for his campaign.
By fraud, do you mean that they are exceeding campaign donation limits?
No, well, yeah, we reported on a couple of instances where some folks had made repeated contributions of $50, well below that $200 threshold, 25, and I think it was 25 and 15, added up to well over the 2,300 that's the limit. And in one case, the guy was named Doodad Pro. Nobody could find any record of such a person. It was just a phony name that was mm-hmm. made up. In another case, the guy's name was Good, first name Good, last name Will. He was using the address of Goodwill, the nonprofit charity. And of course, the charity had no record of such a person or making any such contributions. So there, the Republicans seized on this, filed a complaint about it, raised questions about when you're not disclosing more than half of your donors, because you don't have to. It's not required by law for that $200 and less. You could get people abusing the system, and in some cases they did. I mean, there's no evidence of a widespread conspiracy here or massive fraud, but as I said, there have been some sporadic instances that the McCain people have seized on.
All right, but let me ask you honestly, is this something that you can really, as a candidate or anybody, keep a lock on? I mean, in the days of people being able to click on something online and donate in small amounts or frankly, any amount they want, is there a way for any campaign to truly vet every dollar that comes in?
No. I mean, especially when you're raising as much money as they are. This is phenomenal. And, look, I think that there are people who have said they could have done a better job of policing these small donors. I don't know how big of an issue it is. It's an issue. It's been flagged by some of the public interest watchdog groups who do find it a bit troubling that when you have these staggering $400 million plus raised by the Obama campaign, that there isn't transparency on more than half of it. So that's, I think, a legitimate question to raise, but not a... not a huge one that's going to shake things up.
Paul Harris talking with Michael Isikoff from Newsweek here on the Big 89, the weekend WLS, with 10 days to go until Election Day. John McCain lately has been using the S word to describe Obama's policies, the S word being socialist. Does that have a lot less sting after nationalizing the banks?
You would think so, yeah. I mean, this thing, our economy has changed so radically just in the last month with what this, with the responses that the that the Bush administration and the Congress have taken to the economic crisis. And when you have the kind of financial investments, I don't know if you saw the news today, where the Treasury is going to be actually going into the insurance companies, bolstering the insurance companies as well. I mean, you have massive federal de facto a partial nationalization of major industries in this country to avert to try to turn around this financial meltdown. Mm-hmm. And that is a much bigger role for government. It's the kind of thing that people would have been horrified about 50 years ago or 30 years ago, or certainly 20 years ago when Ronald Reagan was president, yet that's the steps that a Republican administration is taking to try to save the economy.
And does that word socialist really mean much of anything anymore, especially when our neighbors to the north run a socialized health program and much of Europe has socialized this and socialized that? I mean, or does the big S word, capital S socialism, bring to mind the Soviet Union and China and Cuba?
Oh, it probably does. But look, I mean, these are labels. I mean, labels don't mean a whole lot.
So you don't think voters are responding to that and saying, oh, I don't want that. I want McCain.
People who sort of remember their studies of this in high school or college. But, I mean, socialist, I mean, a guy that almost seems kind of quaint at this point, doesn't it? I mean, it's not exactly a term that's been in the political dialogue in recent years. So I don't think it cuts much one way or the other.
Last thing I want to talk to you about, Michael, is the tone of this campaign. These are two guys, Barack Obama and John McCain, who were supposed to be different kind of candidates, who earlier this year both said, we're looking forward to running a civil campaign, and we're not going to be running negative, and we're not going to be on the attack, and all that sort of stuff. And I know that it's not possible to really run a campaign like that in the 21st century. But have you been at all surprised at how vitriolic some of this has gotten?
A little bit, only because, you know, there was a point at which McCain had, talked about how he wanted to have an elevated, lofty campaign. And wanted to do the town hall meetings. And, if you listen to him, he was the victim of those incredible smears when he ran for president in 2000 by the Bush campaign operatives. And he took great umbrage and affront at that and sort of portrayed himself as somebody who was above all that and was trying to bring a new tone to American politics. And then you have Obama on the other side, who very much the reformer, very much the in a similar mold, that actually sort of made this a keystone of his political persona. So you might have expected, we might have expected, a somewhat elevated debate in this campaign, and instead it's been about as nasty and negative as one could imagine, and certainly no distinction from any of the past nasty campaigns in American presidential politics. I don't think it's off the charts if you look at comparison to, say, 1988 Willie Horton ads against Michael Dukakis, or 2000 the Bush McCain primary charge, or 1990. When Republicans tried to suggest that Bill Clinton had taken some sort of the surreptitious trip to the Soviet Union and was a draft dodger. I mean, you go back in past years, I mean, we've had plenty of negative campaigns in recent American political history. This one is similar, but not off the parts worse. What's striking about it is, given who these two candidates are, McCain and Obama, that it got so that it's gone so far downhill.
Yeah, I was surprised on the McCain camp, especially if, you know, you talked about the robocalls against him by the Bush people in 2000, and he went out and hired that guy who did that to him to do it to Obama.
Yep. Look, I mean, you know, the sad thing for a lot of people who admired John McCain in years past for being the independent maverick reformer who he was perceived as for so many years, that he would then surround himself with veteran operatives of the George W. Bush campaigns, who have who come out of the Karl Rove school of politics, very much a divisive school of dividing the country between us versus them, and you have people playing from the same, using the same playbook, the Karl Rove playbook, on behalf of John McCain. That's been disappointing to a lot of people who used to be big admirers of John McCain.
Yeah, I think he's hurt himself. You know, this is the John McCain. This is not the John McCain that America liked for all those years, who could go on talk shows and grip and grin with the hosts and laugh, and the audience cheered him and all that sort of stuff. He may have done some serious damage to his image if he doesn't win this thing.
No question. You know, of course, if he wins the thing,
all is forgotten,
and everybody, all the other pundits are wrong.
Right.
It won't matter. Then he'll have been vindicated using these tactics. But we certainly don't see any substantial movement in the polls suggesting that things are heading his way at this point.
Michael, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Michael Isikoff is investigative correspondent for Newsweek, joining me here.